This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can leave me prayer requests. You can comment on the program. If you send me your name, I'll send it on to Grace and Truth, the magazine that I publish in from time to time, if you would like to be on their free subscription mailing list. Again, you can re-listen to my programs on the website. You can listen to my weekly meditation there. So if you have a desire to go to the website, or if you want to contact me through U.S. mail, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to start in with Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 33. Last time we were looking at the verses just preceding that, and the verses, we're going to restart looking at verse 36. But verse 33 through 35 really had to do with the idea of fasting. And as we go down to verse 36, we're going to get into the idea of the change in the dispensations. And in a sense, it seems to me like fasting is associated with those change in the dispensations. Now, I know that there are many people today who advocate as a religious discipline fasting, and they believe that it's something that all of us should do, that it's taught in the New Testament, that it's a discipline, it's a command, much like baptism or breaking of bread. Whereas in my own personal study of this subject, I do not believe that fasting is associated with the New Testament church as much as it's associated with the Old Testament dispensations associated with Israel. But nevertheless, as I mentioned last time, it does say in verse 35, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. Now that's a voluntary thing just because of the way in which they'll sorrow when the Lord is taken away. I want to reemphasize that nowhere in the epistles is fasting commanded or taught, and I cannot see where the Lord has commanded fasting either, even though he does tell us that if you're going to fast, you make sure that only you know you're fasting. Don't make everybody else know you're fasting. It's a personal thing between you and God. Now, I have, and I did mention last time, that I personally have fasted. I have benefited by it. But I don't ask people who have problems with blood sugar, diabetes, and other problems to fast. I think you can be a good Christian without doing it. And again, I want to emphasize that fasting does not just mean that you give up your candy bars or that you give up something. It means that you give up eating. And there is a sense in which that draws you closer to the Lord, because when you give up eating, you'll be reminded constantly that you are putting spiritual things first. It's a discipline that will help you. But again, it's not a command in the New Testament. It's a discipline that if you want to follow it voluntarily, it will be of help to you. But in the Old Testament, fasting was commanded on the Day of Atonement. It was something that the children of Israel had to do if they were going to follow the religious rituals that the Lord said pleased him in the Old Testament. We do not have a day like that in the New Testament or a command like that in the New Testament. Now let's just read from verse 36. Then he spake a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new one makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Change is not something that comes easily for most of us. If we look back in our lives, we talk about the good old days, and many of us like the things that we were raised with. Even the current generation who thinks they're singing new songs will find those songs are old one day, and in their older years they'll nostalgically go back to what they were raised with. The old wine is better. Now, I know that's not 100% true, but we have a sense, there's a sense in which we look back over life and think that the good old days were good old days, although I sometimes say I'm glad that the good old days are good and old. We hear people say with regard to cars, for example, they don't make them like they used to. And when they say that, I say thank the Lord, because I had old cars. I had 50s and 60s cars. My cars that are built in the 2000s are much better cars than those that were built then. They don't, when they used to say they didn't use a drop of oil, that meant they didn't use much oil between changes. But my present cars don't use a drop of oil. Our present cars get a lot better mileage. My present car starts a lot better. My present car is a lot more dependable. So I'm not nostalgic about the old cars, although when I look back at the 56, 55, 56, 57 Chevrolet, there was something about that car that just still is very attractive to me, until you go to the gas station, of course. So we have a tendency to not to want to change. And so we have to ask the question, would we prefer living in the Old Testament, which is the way things started out, or do we really think it would be better to live in the New Testament times that we have laid out for us in the epistles, taught to us in the epistles? The Jews, they didn't want to change, and so they wanted to stay with the ritual of the Old Testament, whereas we who are raised in this dispensation probably don't have as much problem with that, but yet there is a problem with it, because I see people who do not distinguish properly between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they try to put the church under the bondage of the Old Testament law, which failed the Jews and which will fail the church. Now let me explain to you what I mean. The Old Testament was written for us, that is, for us who are saved today, but the Old Testament was not written to us. The New Testament is written to us and for us. So today, as we look at the New Testament, we let it explain the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is really a book that is historically accurate. It does tell the story of creation the way God wants us to understand it. It tells us about how the children of Israel were a delivered people and were a chosen people, and how that when they obeyed him, they were blessed, and how they when they turned away from him, they were cursed. And it's interesting that they did turn away from him and they were cursed. And today the children of Israel are in dispersion because they rejected their Messiah. When we look at the Jewish people, they were an earthly people. They had earthly promises. And they had an earthly land. It was all a physical thing. They looked at what you could see. In the New Testament, we look beyond what we can see. We're a spiritual people. We have spiritual promises, and we have a spiritual land. So when we go to the Old Testament, we find out that there were blessings that were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yes, in a very real way, those blessings have come to pass, because Abraham was told that through his seed, all nations of the world would be blessed. How did that take place? Well, there's a sense in which when we bless the Jews, we are blessed. We know that. But at the same time, God tells us to treat all people properly. And when people treat other people properly, there is blessing associated with that. It's not just associated with the Jews. It's associated with treating people properly, loving the Lord your God, and loving your neighbor as yourself. But the blessing that was specific to Abraham was fulfilled in Christ. And Abraham was a picture of the New Testament Christian of faith. Romans chapter 4 tells us Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so then in Romans we find out that those of us who are going to please God today should be like Abraham, in that we should be people of faith. Abraham's faith was tested with regard to his going into the land and possessing it, and in many cases he failed, but his real test of faith had to do with taking a promised son, a son of his old age in Genesis 22, and being willing to go and sacrifice him as the Lord had demanded on Mount Moriah. And yet we know that he didn't have to sacrifice his son on Genesis 22 because a lamb or a ram was found caught in a thicket, and the ram took the place of Isaac. And in the New Testament, we find out that Abraham was willing to do this because he did believe the promises, and he knew that Isaac would be the one through whom his offspring would come, and who would possess that land that was going to be theirs. He would do that, but even though Isaac was the promised seed, the New Testament tells us that Abraham knew that God could raise him from the dead. Now, Abraham was tested, but Abraham had full confidence in God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We who are saved today have full confidence in the Lord. We have confidence in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We believe that he died for sins, and we too are children of faith in that sense. So the Old Testament is the lesson, the illustration. The New Testament has the teaching for the Christian on these issues. In the Old Testament, you had animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, you have the Lord being the sacrifice that has satisfied God. So in the Old Testament, there was an outward cleansing. In the New Testament, there's an inward cleansing. It's a heart that has to be cleansed. In the Old Testament, it's a physical land, physical promises, and physical people. In the New Testament, that's all spiritual. Now, the problem we have today is that many people want us to live under the Old Testament law, and they had that problem even in the New Testament church, where many Jewish believers said that Christianity was a sect of Judaism, but Christianity is not a sect of Judaism. It's a new thing. It's a new creation in Christ. And so the promises to Israel are still the promises to Israel. The promises to the church are the promises to the church, and the church has not replaced Israel. The church is not the kingdom of God on earth. The church is the spiritual kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the church is the kingdom in its spiritual aspect, but not in its physical aspect. And the kingdom of God is not on earth today, though there is a day coming when the Lord will reestablish himself with the Jewish people, because right now the Jewish people have never repented, as a nation now, have never repented with regard to the crucifixion of Christ. And that's going to have to happen before these actual promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled to the nation, but that will be after the Lord is no longer doing his work through the church. And I believe that will be after the church has been taken home to be with the Lord in heaven. So we have to be very careful about not making ourselves a sect of Christendom, but to recognize that in the New Testament, we have the liberty of worshiping Christ in this new way under grace, and we do not keep the Old Testament law in the way that the Jews did in order to please God. So I hope you've come to an understanding that we have liberty in the new to worship the Lord in a new way, and it starts with trusting in his Son, that he died for our sins, and that he in fact is the one that the Lord has placed his approval upon, and we need to trust in him. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.